This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Some of the hottest days of the year can usually be found in the month of August. Even if you love 90-plus degree days, there is, to go along with that, an environmental and public health toll. We've already had a couple of days designated as Air Quality Alert Days or Ozone Action Days. There were 9 of them in 2016. Overall, it speaks to the air quality in Washtenaw County in southeast Michigan, and that is our topic of discussion today. My guest is Jim Haywood, and Jim is the senior meteorologist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality Air Quality Division. Thank you very much for your time today, Mr. Haywood.
My pleasure. It's good to talk to you.
Based on your modeling and projections, will the summer of 2017 exceed the 9 ozone action days of 2016?
Well, it's always hard to say. So far, I believe we've had 4 action days, which means it's actually been a fairly calm summer. Like you say, we are getting into August, and August can be hot, and we can get some high numbers in August, but we've gotten through June, and we've gotten through July without too much damage, so I'm hoping it's going to be a pretty light year.
What conditions actually need to be present for the DEQ to declare an air quality alert?
Well, it's a couple of different things. For ozone to form in the atmosphere, you need first what we call the precursor chemicals in the atmosphere, and that will be volatile organic compounds, things like gasoline fumes, and also nitrogen dioxide. Now, when you get those chemicals in the air and you expose those to some strong radiation, in other words, the sunlight, then it forms into ozone. The reason we don't get that in the wintertime is, though, even though we might still have the same precursors in the air, we just don't have that strong solar radiation like you get during the summer months.
Understanding that this may be a little bit outside of your professional purview, when we do have these designated air quality alert days, what are the public health risks?
The public health risks generally are people who have high degrees of respiratory problems. And that's part of the program when we put this together. Initially, we thought, well, if we can let the public know that the conditions are right for ozone to form, everybody can take some certain precautions out there, such as not filling up their gas tank in the mornings or even in the afternoons, or doing things that don't put those kind of precursors into the air, like the lighter fluid for your charcoal, if you don't do things like that. And as the program progressed, we thought that was still a good idea, but there are still going to be days where you're going to have some high ozone out there. So the program kind of morphed not only into a sort of a thing where people can take actions, but also just to let people know, pretty much sort of a health hazard. If you've got respiratory issues, this is probably a good day not to get out and go jogging and do things like that. So it sort of morphed into a two-pronged program. One was a preventative program, and the other was a health alert program.
And when we talk about doing things like not topping off our gas tanks or refraining from using gas-powered lawn equipment, are we just kind of throwing a Band-Aid on a gaping wound?
Well, you know, that's really a hard thing to say because we really don't know exactly how much the individual reductions help. We know that every little bit will help out there. How much, it's really hard to say. Is it a Band-Aid fix? Possibly, but at the same time, if it's a marginal day, we absolutely do believe that when people do things like that, if they carpool or not top off their gas tanks, it can make a difference in 2 or 3 parts per billion, which may be enough to keep us underneath the threshold.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment. It continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking ozone action days and air quality with Jim Haywood. Jim is senior meteorologist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. And speaking of the environment in specific, we know that these kinds of things can cause ozone depletion. Beyond that, what are the kind of trickle-down effects of these kinds of days?
Well, there is a legal aspect of that, too. We are required by law to keep our state pretty clean. And the EPA has thresholds out there, and if we do have 2 or 3 summers where we have bad numbers, and it's based on a 3-year average, and if that average exceeds the EPA threshold, then we have a situation where we are considered to be no longer attaining the air quality standard. In other words, we are non-attainment. And we have to put together a plan which gets us back into attainment. And to do that, that means we have to do some punitive steps. We have to go to industries and tell them they need to cut back their emissions, automobile emissions. We have to find ways to cut those back. So there is a real-life, real-term consequence out there if the air quality is bad.
Speaking of which, the EPA under Scott Pruitt has delayed increased air quality standards that were set to take effect last year. State Attorney General Bill Schuette is fighting increased air quality standards when it comes to CO2 and mercury. Can we expect to see improvements in an era of accelerated climate change and protection rollbacks?
Not really. It doesn't really affect our forecasting program. When the EPA set the 70 parts per billion standard, our air quality index followed that. And we are still following that 70 parts per billion standard as our goal when we do our forecasting. Now, what the EPA rollback was that kind of held back on the monitors, which we do have in the state, which right now exceed that 70 parts per billion. It's kind of a slowdown effect before we start seeing the punitive stage of those violations at those monitors.
So when you talk about the three-year average, give me an overall rating for the air quality as it stands right now in Southeast Michigan. Are we in compliance?
In your particular area, you are okay. We do have some monitors, primarily north and northeast of Detroit, which exceed the 70 parts per billion right now. And that's typically because of the downwind effect. We get the generations of our precursor chemicals that we talked about in the Detroit area. And if you get a nice southerly to southwest wind, that kind of blows up to the northeast area. And given enough time under that harsh summer sunlight, our monitors up in the Port Huron area and the New Haven area do tend to be problematic. But where you are, you're pretty much considered to be upwind, and rarely do we see a violation at the monitor right there.
So are we talking Washtenaw County specific, or are we including Wayne County in that as well?
Right now, I'm really just talking about Washtenaw County.
So Wayne, because Wayne County seems to have a higher degree of asthma and respiratory ailments than most of the rest of the region.
And that's not only because you do have the ozone there. I mean, you are talking about a fairly heavy industrial area, so there are other compounds that we are worried about in that area as well.
According to the Department of Environmental Quality's own statistics, air quality in Washtenaw County failed to meet the EPA standards for good air quality 25% of the time. That's one in every 4 days.
In Washtenaw County, especially when it comes to our forecasting program, which is the ozone and particulates, those statistics really are not true. Our monitors that we have down there in the Ann Arbor area and Ypsilanti area typically do show good air quality. So I think probably those numbers generally reflect the more seven-county area there than just Washtenaw County in and of itself.
Once the Trump administration decided it would not join with the rest of the industrialized world and participate in the Paris Accord, many local units of government stepped up and decided to try and implement as many of the components of the agreement as small budgets would allow, Ann Arbor among them. The city is taking some of the small measures like an anti-idling ordinance. Is that the kind of measure that local communities can take that would make a positive impact on air quality for both the short and longer term?
Oh, absolutely. We have found out, especially in the wintertime with the fine particulates, and this goes back to the forecasting program, it's not only for ozone, but it's also for fine particulates. We do find in the winter months, especially when you've got a lot of people out there and they're running their engines longer because they want to keep their vehicles warm, that the idling puts a lot of the fine particulates into the atmosphere, especially the diesel engines. And so that absolutely does make a difference.
What is your recommendation for individual action to help ensure getting our air quality to where it needs to be?
Well, any time that you're not doing any kind of a combustion source, you're probably helping the air. Obviously, in the summer times, we like to cut back on the VOCs being introduced into the atmosphere. And probably the biggest thing that you can do for that is drive as little as you can, and absolutely do not top off your gas tank, because we have found in years past that that was really the major contributor, the mobile sources.
So as you look to the future, are you optimistic about air quality in this particular region and overall?
Yes. If you look at the trend of air quality over the last 20 or 30 years, all the air pollutants are coming down. It looks like a staircase coming down, 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 down. And so obviously we want to keep making the air cleaner as possible, and EPA knows that too. So what they do is they keep revising the standard down because we always want that trajectory to improve over time.
Mr. Haywood, I thank you very much for your time today and the information. Much appreciated.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
That is Jim Haywood, senior meteorologist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, Air Quality Division. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and deterred only on 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.